Let's do
Log
it.
Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. Oh, oh, oh,
oh, no.
Oh, oh, yeah. It's African American Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Brown, and the book. We're coming to you live. It's African American Empowerment. We're going to talk about some issues that are relevant to us. Right? Share this with someone that's African American. Let's get started. And y'all know, you've been around, there's no greater love or no better love than self-kindness. No better love, no greater love. And that's what we're promoting around here. No greater love. There's no better love. No greater love than for self and kind. And that's what we want to do is promote self and kind love. It's the only way. Especially for us, when you just look back on the history of what they consider to be African Americans, the colors of black, whatever we want to describe ourselves or be called by others. There's a group of people who have been displaced mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, culturally, and we're trying to resurrect ourselves, right? We're trying to put all the pieces back together. We all know the story of Asar, Isis, or Aset had to go back and remember him. So he had to put all the pieces back together. If you don't know the story, go look it up. And so putting all the pieces back together are what we're trying to do, right? Humpty Dumpty fell down and it couldn't put all the pieces back together again. But in this situation, we're putting the pieces back together again because we are rectifying and resurrecting or re-erecting or resurrecting ourselves. And guess who have to do or has to do that work? It's us, right? As African Americans, it's our job, right? Each and every one of us, it is our mission, right? It is our calling to now reinvent ourselves individually first and then family and then community, right? So what I'm asking you to do now is to do your inner work, right? If you got issues and you know what they are, then you need to address them. If you got concerns and you know what they are, then you need to address them, right? You can't avoid them. Look in the mirror and say, hey, these are the things I need to work on, and then get to work on those things. You have to do it. And then you have to do it on the family level. Let's see how we can begin to coalesce the family and bring the family back together again. Right? That's the next step. And we have to do that without being emotional, right? But really educating our people, right? And being able to do it in a very reflective manner where we are now having compassion for one another, right? In our culture, in our native culture, in our heritage, we had compassion and love for one another. We want to continue to make those strides to be able to do that. And then lastly, community, community engagement on several levels. Right? That community engagement has to be each one teach one, reach back and get one, at least one. Find a kid, find a family, right? Find a community that you want to adopt and to begin to implement action in that community, in that individual, in that family. I guarantee you, if each one of us, I'm estimating around 41 million maybe, if each one of us, the 41 million, took one and reached out to one, one family, one individual in that family and in one community, in any community, and began to do that work. Just like if we had 41 million of us that gave $41 million, just $1, where would we be? And if we did that for 2 days, everybody's just going to give $1 for 2 days. That's $82 million estimated of what we can do to begin to get the resources that we need. Now, we have to properly utilize those resources, of course. We just can't go out buying cars and boats and houses and jewelry and stuff. No. You have to be fiscally sound. Here's the peace concept, man. We have to have a political agenda wherever we are. We got to do the work of working on ourselves. I wish y'all would just stop and listen to this first 5 minutes, maybe 6 minutes. Every week, man, to be able, or woman, to be able to look inside yourself to say, am I really practicing the concepts of the peace process? One is to be able to look at the political agenda that you have, right, for these areas, being able to make sure that you are solidifying the resources that are allocated from the government, whether it's city, wherever your locality, or the state or the federal government to go into our community, wherever we live. Right, to resource us, to help us, help ourselves now, right? Everything was taken away, so it has to be to a place now where it's given back, right? Some people want to call it reparations. I don't want to go that far. I just want to say give back, right? Give it back to us so we can help us help ourselves. Here, political agenda, right? Really working on yourself, really working on how you can do that in your community, wherever you are, right? Economics, an economic agenda, really looking at how you spend your money, one, and then how can we begin to resource ourselves, right? How can we coalesce and then collaborate to build economic wealth within our communities so that we can hire and employ and educate and build institutions that define our own reality? We have to do that. We got to understand capitalism, money management, and economics and how this dollar works and be able to keep that dollar circulating in our communities until that dollar swells so much that we begin to have those Black Wall Streets again, where we have businesses and we have work for our people, that they don't have to go out and get into survival mode and steal and rob and kill and use substances to make a living. So, or selling substances, how about that? All right, next is the A, right? This is individual, right? Look at yourself now and tell yourself, I got to work on my A. That means I got to have a fitness routine and regimen to say, I have to begin to be able to take care of my body because my health is my wealth. I need to push away from the table. I need to get away from the salt and the sugar and the processed foods, get a routine, work out, walk, run, whatever you like doing, but you got to do it. You got to move your body, and you have to be able to get to a place where you are taking care of yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, culturally, and socially. Right? Your health is your wealth. You got to take care of your health. Hey, most importantly is your mental and emotional health. Those are the levels that we have to work on. You have to take care of your physical health. You have to have a mental health examination and an emotional health examination. And you have to be well, and it has to be in alignment for you to function well. And we have to be well functionally because we've been destroyed mentally and emotionally. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, we're recovering, right? So we went from intensive care now to recovery. We're recovering now, and we had to go through these traumatic series of events in our experience here to be able to get the triage that we need to help ourselves in these concepts do it. Cultural, relevant cultural programs like this one and many, many more that really look at examining how we can begin to use culture as a gain pride within ourselves, dignity within ourselves, moral and cultural values that we have, upstanding individuals within our community, men and women that are men and women of their word. If they say they're going to do something, they're doing it. Those are the kind of people that we have to develop. Those are the types of children that we have to develop in our communities, and we can't do it without you. We just can't. And so those are the things that we have to continue to do. And lastly is education. It's a comprehensive education, really looking at how we can round off our people where they're positive, they're peaceful, they're productive, and they're proud of who they are, their culture, and their heritage. They don't have to put their heads down. We don't have to put our heads down anymore. Chin up, chest out, and be positive about who you are and be beautiful just the way you are, mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, and culturally. Those are the tenets of the NAAEA. Join us, www.naaea.weebly.com. We're on the move. And then Stan Mack in a moment. Be right back.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I
we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in. This is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters. Brother Stan is right, and that is my personal tribute to my brother and supporter and co-sponsor and co-host of this show for many years. And so every week I'm going to acknowledge his presence, and his words are so important, acknowledging the tenets of the NAAEA and how we can use those as vital tools for our resurrection, right, for the reinvention of ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with us improving ourselves and our communities, and we're going to have to do the work of working on ourselves, and we can do it. Let's get to work of being the best people that we could be. And now, for my favorite segment, y'all know, come on, y'all got to rock with me now. Brother George, Willie Lynch, and Quarantine Segment. Come on, brother. Oh, yeah. Hey, Wong. Hey.
Bring it. What?
We right here. Come on, y'all, sing with me. We not going anywhere. We right here. Brother George, what's happening, brother? Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Got the sound clear. One more time.
What's the good word for today? Got you loud and clear. Coming through.
Okay, okay. Well, today I want to do things a little different. Today, Quran's principle is going to be Kuki Chagaliya. Basically, Kuki Chagaliya is to speak for ourselves, name ourselves, and create for ourselves. And see, a lot of times, like, we don't fully understand it. We just hear it, and it's a principle, and it just goes right over our head what it really means. But when brothers and sisters, when they change their name, that's a part of naming ourselves. That's a political statement that they make, that I'm no longer accepting my government name. And you might even use your government name to get the benefits that you earned under that name, but that doesn't mean that you can't change your name and use another name. And see, and the idea of speaking for ourselves, a lot of times we would not get involved with the politicians that speak for us. And a lot of times they're really not saying what you really think. But a lot of times you can't blame them because you didn't tell them what you want them to do. When you don't, you know, participate, when they have like a town hall and you don't go out and you don't express your views and all of that in numbers, then they're going to speak for us. And that's not a good thing. You know, I want to give an example of how that worked in a program that was started by our brother James Davis called the Ambassador Program. And one of the things that he wanted to focus on by starting that program is that we speak for ourselves. So what he did was he made arrangements with the mayor, Mayor Stoney, to walk through the housing areas, some call it project, but the housing areas, and ask the people what their concerns were. And we successfully did that with Mayor Stoney on many occasions in every single one of them. And so at least the people's voices were heard from them. And he can't say in the future that, well, I didn't know they, no, you didn't know because they told you right out of their mouth what they need, what they want. And so that, you know, and creating for ourselves, you know, we're still the most creative people on the planet. I don't care what other people have accomplished, and that's all well and good. That's good for them. But the idea of a brick to build a building, that came from us still. So just because the bricks get bigger and they turn into blocks, that concept of building still belongs to us. And the other thing is that we, if we put our creative minds to work, man, we could build a housing development that will be out of this world. When we decide to pull together and start getting our own architects, our own builders to build communities for us, this is what Kuki Chagaliya means. Now, with the Really Lit segment, I'm going to go back to something that I talked about a few weeks ago, which is the difference between traitors and Uncle Toms, because we sometimes put Uncle Toms in the category of traitors when they're really not traitors. What they are is they're people that's a little afraid to go as far as you want them to go. But they'll go some of the distance, but they just won't go as far as, you know, like Malcolm X or Minister Farrakhan, or Martin Luther King. You see, they just don't have that courage to do that. But traitors are these ones that you see that's out here that's promoting stuff that is the opposite of what is beneficial for the black community, and they're benefiting from it. They're getting paid millions of dollars to do what it is they doing, going on these little podcasts and making, you know, black people look stupid and agreeing with, you know, stuff that's detrimental, just like calling, you know, African countries asshole countries. But damn, y'all the people that destroyed our country. Y'all destroyed our continent and destroyed these countries. And then a black man is going to come along after being enslaved in this country for nearly 400 years and then sit down and agree and laugh like, yeah, they are their own country. I guess so. You sucked up all the resources and did everything you could and did everything that you could to prevent us from being productive, and then you turn around and call that whole country, you know. But I just wanted to touch base on those things and kind of give a something for us to think about, you know, when we use those terms. So, brother, if you don't have questions, let me know exactly.
Of course, it's time for the empowerment question of the week. All right, where do we start? Right, that thing about working together, where do we start? Where do we begin in your mind? And you can go out to Slido. The number today is 1560529 if you want to put your answer in. Well, where do we start the work of working on ourselves? We have ideas about how to do it, right? What's your idea? Slido.com. Go out there, 1560529. I'll say it a little slower just in case you want to write it down. 1560529. Empowerment question of the week. How do we do it, Brother George?
Well, you know, first of all, we need to accept that we might be able to just work in a small group. You know, it might be three or four people that you have in that small group. And when you have that small group, that group is way more effective and beneficial than a group of 100 that's all over the place. And you end up not accomplishing anything. But the small group, you take a baby steps, but at least you take a step. And like I said before, we got to get to our young children, our very young children, and we have to teach them life skills. We have to teach them who we are as a people and the things that we have accomplished. And we can do those same things in books that's written for children. We don't have to act like little children are incapable of understanding them. You put it in their language. And I think that we can be very successful with that. And to me, that's where we start from.
Yes, I'm here. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Brother George. I appreciate that. The work has to be done. Let's start with our children. Most importantly, if you're listening, let's start with yourself, right? You are beautiful just the way you are, right? And because of this system and because of supremacy and because of racism, our belief in ourselves have been diminished or has been diminished. And we have the ability to transcend all of those things now. We are free physically. Now let's free ourselves mentally and emotionally. And when we put those levels together, the financial freedom will be worth it and will be worthy of it. And when we're able to take care of each other, create businesses for each other, employ one another, create gardens where we can finance those gardens, schools that we can finance, education centers and fitness centers and health and wellness centers and recovery centers for our people, then we're doing the job. But it starts with us as a collective doing the work of working on ourselves for us. And that's where it's at. So if you begin to do the work today, African American empowerment can work for you. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Thank you, Brother George. I appreciate you. I look forward to talking to you later on in the show. We're going to be talking about some experiences. Thank you, brother. That we know have really been harmful in these recent months. And Buffalo was one, right? You go back to South Carolina, Carolina with Dylann Roode, and you can go to this recent one in Florida and now in Ohio, and it continues, right? It continues, right? So other races and other cultures are not being gunned down and slain like our people. And I just want to have a conversation about what are your thoughts, right, about what's going on. And some of us are afraid, right, and we should be. Some of us are ignoring it. I don't know if that's wise, right? But it's going to be the thing that we have to address. We're going to get to that in just a minute, but it's our next segment coming up, and that is Being the One with Brother Booker. Booker, I hope you're ready because I'm coming at you. Come on, brother. That's right. Oh, yeah.
Bring it. What? Right here.
Bring it, brother. What's happening, Brother Booker?
Brother Marvin. Brother Marvin, how you doing, sir?
Show. Well, how about you,
yes, sir? I'm fine. I'm fine, brother. And first, let me say, like I say all the time, peace to everyone that's in the sound of my voice. I hope all of the family is doing well today, as well as we possibly can be doing in this hell in which we are living. Brother, let me do what we do with the one. I'm going to recap the first three we did and get to number four. And, of course, the first one, the first characteristic or quality of the one is the one is honest with himself or herself.
Mm-hmm.
Must be. It's imperative that we be honest with ourselves. The second one, the one loves himself. And if the one does that, you love yourself, then that leads into number three, then you're going to love your people. Because when you love yourself, when you see your people, you see yourself. And this week, number four, the one believes in himself. Now, what does that mean? When you believe in yourself, if you're honest with yourself and you love your people and you believe, then believe in yourself, that means, brother, you know that God is in you. You believing in yourself, you know that God is in you. You know and understand what is meant by being a child of God. When you truly understand you are a child of God, then God is in you. And not only is God, what that means when you say God is in you, all of God's greatness is in you. Just like all your greatness, brother, is in your children, all my greatness is in my children, all of God's greatness is in us. So when we believe in ourselves, we understand that God is in us. And when we truly understand and know that, brother, as a people, we don't build houses, make bricks. We build moons and stars and suns and universes, brother. That's what the mind of God does. That's what we are capable of. We don't understand and know our capabilities of what we can do. And I'm going to share this with you, brother. I was talking to a white gentleman last night in a restaurant. I sat next to him when I went to get my food, and they struck up a conversation, and one thing led to another. And he shared something with me I did not know. But I could believe in what he was telling me. We started talking about the redwood trees out in California. Are you familiar with the redwood trees, brother?
Yes, sir.
Out in California, they grow to be 300 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, he said, did you know that the redwood trees, the roots, only go 12 feet below the surface? Now think of that. They grow to be 300 feet tall, but the roots are only 12 feet deep. And he said, they say how they can grow so tall with such short roots and never get blown over in storms or nothing like that. They stand tall. He said they're families, and all of their roots underground connect to each other. So every one of the trees in the redwood, one of the redwood trees in the forest, if you will, all of their roots are connected together, becoming one tall, strong, dominant family of trees known as the redwoods.
Like,
can you see that, brother? Well, what you and Brother George were talking about earlier, see that, brother? Just come together, learn from the redwoods. That's the God, that's the nature God in the trees, knowing what they're supposed to do, doing what they're supposed to do, coming together like they say, and be together, not come together, stay together like they, because if they're not together, what's going to happen, brother? They're going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
We need each other to stand, brother. Be the one. The characteristics of the one. Life ain't about me. It's about we. It's about us, brother. That's it for this week, brother. I just wanted to share that.
All right.
And thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, brother Booker.
Thank
you, that's
sir.
A good piece.
Peace.
I like that railroad thing and continue to share.
Yes, sir,
the
brother.
The tenets of being the one. All right, brother Booker. Thank you. Y'all got that? That was sweet, right? When you think about the redwood trees going down and locking roots, and if we lock arms like that, and imagine this, right? If we come together in institutions and in families, and particularly parents and marriages, right? Come together and stay together, not to fuss and argue and fight and disagree and be in chaos and discord and disharmony and dysfunction, but positive vibes and positive energy, right? Where the relationship matter because you contribute to it, contributing to it in a positive, productive way, where you give life to the relationship and not death, right? And we're sentencing our relationships and our families and our children to a death sentence because we can't get along. And many times we can't get along because it's our internal issues, right? That come from our own dysfunctional families or experiences in this culture and society, whether it's in our families or whether you've experienced internalized issues along the way, it's still happening and it's still manifesting. So like Brother Booker said, come together and connect in a positive way, right? And correction for direction is not a bad thing, right? Some people don't want to be corrected, right? They just don't. Everybody, you have to have correction for direction so that we can all go. We'll have to go all in the same direction at the same time. But at least we can say, hey, let's look at how we can find ways to agree to disagree. Let's find ways to work together. I object to what you did and what you said, but let's find a way to have harmony. We don't do that. Like brother said last week, we'll fuss and cuss each other out, but give other people grace. Let's begin to give each other grace. That's it for that. Thank you, Brother Booker. Now we're going to move into our discussion for today. The discussion for today is a very interesting one, right? Because we're really talking about the mass shooting in Florida, right? And other racialized issues that we face in this country. Right. And here's the most recent things that we can think about. And I'm really personally concerned as I look at how these things are being conveyed, right? The behavior and those things behind it. So I'll just give some examples, right? I'll start with Buffalo and the shooting there where individuals were targeted in the grocery store, right? Then we come down to Florida and how these individuals, black, of course, African-American, are in Dollar General, right? And they're shot to death by a young man who was in their 20s, right, armed and ready to go, just walk into the store and take the lives of black people because they're black. And so the FBI is now doing a federal civil rights investigation about the shooting as a hate crime, but the system has created this, right? So let's now move to Charlottesville. If y'all remember Charlottesville a while back and the mass chaos in that rally. And then let's look at January 6th, right? And how that manifested itself in the behaviors. Now, one or two of those people have been found guilty of sedition and other crimes on the government level. But think about the support that came from the administration, right? This is political. And let's think about how the government, even the Supreme Court in its rulings throughout the history of this country as it was established, that were set in place to put laws and rules in place, and those issues that continue to come up, right? And I'm not again, trying to be divisive more than saying, let's think about how we can counterbalance these things that are going on. How can we be safe in this country, or how can we feel safe in this country if these acts and these events continue to manifest themselves in our lives? How safe are our children when they go out to school or at the bus stop, right? How safe are you when you go to the grocery store? I know last night when I went to the grocery store to pick up some water, I was looking around. That's what I'm doing now. I'm looking around. At VCU this week, they had a all call for a masked gentleman who they said had a gun, and they shut the entire campus down looking for this individual. They found him with a mask on, but he didn't have a gun, and that's where we are now, right? North Carolina. And the professor that got murdered there, Virginia Tech, back a few decades ago. Those things are happening, right? But specifically for African Americans, those things, we're being targeted, right? The young lady, lastly, in Ohio, they claimed that the store said that she shoplifted. Police asked her to get out the car. She said, I ain't getting out the car for what? They said, get out the car. She turned her wheel, and he let go. Now, I've seen other cultures and other communities have dialogue with the police. They'll let them get away because they know the license plate, and then they go pick them up later, right? But this young man was threatened enough to unload the weapon, and you could see it if you go out and look at it, and killed her. And she was pregnant, right? That's a black lady, right? I don't know if the baby lived, but this baby, if it did, doesn't have a mother now because of how policing has been established in this country. All I want to do today is have a discussion about what's going on and why and where we're going, and can we see what's actually happening right in front of our faces, right in front of our eyes. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. I'd like to start with you, right, if you don't mind, right? There is a lot going on that I think as people of color, black people, African Americans, that we have to at least dialogue about. And that's what I want to do today. I just want to have a conversation and a discussion about what is actually happening as we see these things on different levels unfold, right? And the lives of our people, right, are threatened, and the overthrow of the government. As African Americans, are we secure right now? Are we comfortable with how things are going? And I just want to get the opinion of the listeners as we go along with this discussion today. What you got for me, brother?
Well, what I say to that is that it's kind of obvious, you know, that you still have the remnants of the Confederacy in this country, which the Confederate flag means the same thing today as it meant 300 years ago. It means free labor. So when we received our emancipation, a lot of whites that were still under that Confederate banner that still wanted us to be their free labor, or at the very least, you know, second-class citizens, something that could not compete with them, where they could keep hold on to their white privilege because of the color of their skin, it's created an environment of fear. First of all, amongst them. And now we should be afraid because they feel like the Dred Scott case, that black people have no bounds, that white people are bound to respect. We have no right. That whites are bound to respect. And so a lot of times those things are still in play, and we don't think that they're still in play. And so now these young white guys are going around and killing people because they think they're doing their people a favor by getting rid of them. And so what I say that we should do is, number one, is we need to join the position, and not just to fight somebody, but a lot of people don't understand that militias also teach you how to defend and protect yourself, how to be observant of your surroundings and what's going on. And in an environment like we have today, our young people have been confused by them as well. And so one of them will run up and shoot you. You know, they're not in their right time. You see, that's the difference between somebody that's killing you that's in their right mind and or they're sick, but they're not sick like our kids are. You see, so like a sick of a self-hatred type of sick, you know. And so I say that we need to learn how to protect ourselves. If you don't want to join a militia, at the very least, get some type of martial arts training where you can protect yourself while you're out there. Don't leave yourself in a vulnerable spot where someone could just run up on you and kick you and you can't do nothing, or come in the store and shoot you and your wife and all that kind of stuff. You can't do nothing because you never learned how to defend yourself. That's the first law of nature. It's self-preservation. And when you never learned how to preserve yourself, we need to learn that. We need to learn those things. And I think that we need to really give strong consideration to starting those type of militias that will teach us how to defend ourselves, how to use the weapon. Not to abuse a weapon, but how to effectively use it. Because there's no need to have it if you don't know how to use it. You know, so
all right, I thank you.
That's like a first step, you know, thought to the process.
Okay. Thank you, brother. Militias.
Yes, sir.
That's a good idea. I think, you know, a brother sent me a list today here in Richmond of some of the communities, the worst, basically, communities in the city of Richmond, and all of them on the list, the top 10, is African-American communities, right, where we live, mostly public housing, and the number one listed was one of the toughest public housing areas in the city, right? And so how do we protect ourselves, and not just for those who live in inner city areas or high crime areas, but mostly in most cities where we live, it's going to be that way because of poverty and because of systemic issues that we haven't learned to navigate around. I like security forces, Brother George, because somebody got to step in and regulate the behaviors of the people who are out of control in our community. So we had two issues, the external issues and the internal issues, because in many instances, a lot of our people are not safe, right? And so what does that do to the psyche, right? What does that do to the mindset when you are not safe, right? And I know some people won't visit a certain school that we work at because they are afraid, right? But we go there every day. Some people won't come in and visit. And Brother George, you know this, the community center that we do the ambassador program at, because they're afraid to go into that neighborhood. Right. And really kind of when you think about it, can you blame a person about, like you said, preservation, self-preservation is the first law. So how do we begin to take step backs and evaluate? Right. And that's what I'm thinking about. Right. How do we evaluate these issues? And then what are some solutions, and what can we do as individuals and groups? I'm going to go to the lines for a minute. 504-4756, you have your hand up, so I'm going to you first. Welcome to the show.
What are your thoughts?
Greetings. This is Brother Warren, host of New Orleans Wake Up Blog Talk Radio Show. Glad that you communicated out to me, Brother Marvin, to participate in this discussion. And I don't want to push my show per se, but I want to say that anybody who's been listening
show,
to my programs, yeah, anybody who's been listening to my programs called New Orleans Wake Up on Blog Talk, you will see that for most of the shows recently, going back maybe a year, I have been analyzing what is called white racist conservative talking points. So the mass shooting that occurred in Florida and the attempted mass shooting in a Philadelphia church, the white guy was turned away from this black church around the same weekend who he was going to go and commit a massacre in this black church. This is nothing new. But what is new are the young generations of African-American people who hadn't lived in previous times to know about this. So my point is, we need to be aware of the myths and lies about black people that is communicated constantly throughout different medium platforms. And not to get into a debate with white people, but we must educate ourselves about these stereotypes about us. The first stereotype that was created to justify mistreating us is that we're not really human, that black people are just not really human. And interestingly enough, there are reports in the medical field that when black women in the hospital or black people are in pain, the white doctors and nurses don't listen to them because there's this myth that somehow black people could withstand pain more. And so basically what I want to say is we need to educate ourselves on the mythologies and how these mythologies transform themselves to present day, that whites still interact with black people on, black people taking their jobs, black people trying to replace them, black people discriminating against them, black people being racist against them. This is how these white people talk. That is, those whites who profess to be conservative, that is. It's not to say that the white liberals are not racist, because they are, but the ones who openly, unapologetically articulate anti-black sentiment tend to fall within the realm of being a conservative. And conservative, we all know, means to maintain the status quo. And so we must educate young African-Americans. Another stereotype is that black people are criminals, black females are whores and oversex, black males are rapists. And see, a lot of young black females don't realize when they go into the professional workplace, these white males see them in that stereotype, that there's something to just try to screw. And black men are threats to white males. And so therefore, black males must some kind of way be removed from the scene so they can have access to black females. So I just want to talk about, we must educate ourselves on these age-old lies and stereotypes about us that whites still believe. Just like when you go to church every Sunday, you're reading scripture. That's how these white folk talk about us, with the belief they still hold.
All right. Thank you, Warren. And can you tell our listeners the tag for your show and the name and how they can reach you?
Well, the name, all you got to do is go on Blog Talk and just type in New Orleans Wake Up. Not Wake Up New Orleans, but New Orleans, comma, Wake Up. And you can get to the homepage and see many of the shows that's been done.
All right. Thank you, Brother Warren. I appreciate you, right? You continue to do the work, and we're going to wake up ourselves all around the country. That's Brother Warren from New Orleans. So thank you, Brother Warren. I hope I can get you back on in just a few minutes. Let's go on down to 314-4953. You got your hand raised. What you got for me?
You know, I was listening to the conversation. My name is Pianki.
And you know, Pianki, how you doing today, sir?
One of your biggest, I'm doing fine. Blacktastic, if I could say. But the incident in Jacksonville is news. The news is one of the culprits in instigating and stirring up emotion. And let me give you an example. The latter part of last month, July, well, of course, it's September 9th, you had a black male in Georgia that shot and killed 4 whites in his neighborhood. You never heard anything about that. In Tennessee, you had a black male, Mr. Solomon, attended a white church, and he had wrote a note that he wanted to kill 10 whites. So I think you're talking about people that have mental problems.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the incident, and you made it point yourself, you said that you got people that you was talking to who didn't want to go to the areas that you was going to, the schools that you teach in, because they fear for their safety. And they have a right to feel that way. I mean, you take your St. Louis and Chicago's, the people that's harming people in those areas are the people that look like who we're talking about, that is blacks. I mean, in Chicago, since Memorial Day of May this year, you know, had 902 blacks shot by other blacks with 132 murders. And a high point was 4,845 shot by other blacks with 745 murders. You don't hear anything about that. So until you can clean up the things that's going on, for whatever the excuse and reason, people don't have very much, especially people that look like these ones that's facing these dilemmas, they don't have very much confidence in. And what do you do? Everything's been tried, talked about, and applied. What do you do? I mean, if it wasn't happening, you couldn't write about it, couldn't talk about it. It's a problem. It's a big problem, and it's an expensive problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your comments. I think you're right, right? It is a problem. It's a major, major problem that we're going to have to resolve. And, again, my position is we're going to have to do it ourselves, right? And my word would be correction for direction, right? We have to be able to, like Dr. Bruce said, recapture the African mind. Right, change the mindset, right? Like you said, mental health. Mental health is an issue in the African-American community, whether we want to believe it or not. And I really think the psychology, the mental health or the mental psychology of many African-Americans in certain communities with certain experiences create certain behaviors, right? And so when you have certain environments with certain energies and certain resources that have been put in place for those things to happen, you're going to find that, right? The key piece that I see is poverty, right? Dysfunction and poverty, right, are like a hand inside of a glove. And in many communities, right, you find individuals who have lost the zest for life, have been abused, have been mistreated, who have dysfunctional parents, who have mental health issues and who have substance issues that have nowhere to go and nothing to do. And some, for many, the jail or the prison system is some of the most safe places for them to hide, heal, and recover, and even have a meal and a roof over their head and some level of safety and security. Let me go back to Brother Booker 9282. Let me see what you got, sir. What you got for me?
Brother, we must remember our history, our past. Everything that is going on in the black community today is a result and a product of slavery. We were made into the situation that we're in to get to the point where we are today, where we're killing ourselves, hating ourselves, killing each other. And we are also in a position where we're depending on someone else to defend us, to protect us, and that someone else is our master. It's like, brother, if you're relying on me to take care of your household, to defend your household, if there's somebody come over your household, you're going to look to me and see what am I doing and tell me why what they did to you was wrong. And ask, where was I? And what am I going to do about it? You see what I'm saying? Everything.
Uh-huh.
I remember that community that you said, the top 10 Richmond scariest communities. I grew up in the number one community, as you did, okay? I remember, brother, when that was the safest community you could be in.
Mm-hmm.
Because we took care of each other. We stood by each other. We protected each other. Okay? We did our dirt, but we did it somewhere else, not in our neighborhood. Brother could come home drunk. Old brother could come home drunk. We didn't knock him in the head and take his money. We took him home because we knew where he lived and knew his grandson, knew his son. We protected each other. Police chasing me. I get to Gilpin Court. You ain't getting me, man. I could go in any house in Gilpin Court and they open up the door and say, come on in here, boy, have a seat. We took care of ourselves, but they destroyed that and pitted us against each other. And it started by pitting Gilpin against Mosby, against Mosby, against Fairfield, Fairfield against Creighton. And Creighton. I mean, you got the courts over in Church Hill fighting each other, and they when I was coming up, they were one community, Church Hill. You didn't have Mosby fighting Mosby. I'm fighting Gilpin, and if I'm fighting Wickham, and fighting Fairfield, and fighting Creighton, no. That's all the divide and conquer, brother. That's getting us to, we're doing the Klan's job. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have the Klan marching through the neighborhood anymore. We doing it. Because, again, it all goes back to what we've been talking about forever and ever, and Dr. Bruce, and recapturing the African mind. It's the destroying of the mind. You cannot be free physically if you're not free mentally. You're just a trained animal. You're just a trained dog. I done took the leash off. And when I call you, you coming. Come here, boy. Roll over. Give me your paw. Fetch. Do this for me. Come here. Excuse me, mama. Come here, nigga. I need a nigga to do this. I need a nigga to do this. I need a nigga to do this. Where my niggas at? When I call you, come. That's where we are. Sell my dope to your people. Bring me some women up here that I can pimp and take advantage of. You know, do these, do this, do that, do that. We are controlled by our masters, we are a product of slavery. That's it, brother. All the things y'all talking about. Oh, that's the cause. That's the root cause of everything. That's why they can kill us and shoot us down, because they know we're not going to do a damn thing about it as a people. But complain. We may gather and march downtown and say, enough is enough. Please keep hope alive. They said, damn, Mark, that's what we want you to do. So long as you keep doing that, we're going to keep killing you, because you know you're not going to do nothing as a people, because you're not together as a people to do anything. You know? Your representatives down here don't represent you. They represent me. That's the bottom line, partner.
All right.
We have to understand.
Thank you, Brother Booker.
Yes, sir. Be honest with yourself. Number one.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. All right, let's go to 804-0673. Thank you, Brother Booker. 0673.
You,
what you got for me?
Yeah, hotel, brother. How you doing?
Hey,
can
how
you
doing,
me?
Brother? Kevin Lynn? Yes, sir.
All right.
Loud and clear.
I'm glad that caller mentioned the mental component, because we hear the racial component, but we don't hear the mental component, and we got to listen to the whole, we got to see the whole thing. Let's start with the history. The killer in Florida worked at Dollar Tree October 2021 to July 22nd. He stopped at the Family Dollar and was deterred by security. So let's check that part. That's a turn right there. So there's some pluses that happen, although the killing is tragic. There's some pluses. He was deterred right there. Then he went to Edward Waters University, was confronted by another security guard. He was deterred again. He was deterred twice. Then he went on to Dollar General and killed three blacks. All right. Now, he took his life. The part that I'm stuck on is, why are you killing black people and taking your own life? That's the part I'm stuck on right now. But I ain't not even going to focus on that, though. I'm not even going to focus, because I deal with solutions. All right. The government's father said, that's why I appreciate that caller who called in and mentioned the mental part, because we don't want to look at the whole picture, right, the whole picture. The government's father said his son had stopped taking psychiatric medicine and stayed in his room after dropping out of college and losing his job. Other records show the 21-year-old had encounters with police as a teenager, including involving a suicidal threat that led to involuntary psychiatric evaluation. So there's a couple of things going on here. Race, is that the only thing going on here? It's race compounded with mental issues. All right. Now, I look for a solution. I had a proposed bill. I was talking to a U.S. senator, a Virginia senator, and here's the letter that I wrote to him. I said, I have a proposed bill that concerns potential victims of the gun violence being responsible for their own safety. So my bill has to do with people being responsible for their own safety. I don't take the position that one day the lion is going to lie down next day next to the lamb. I don't take the position. I take the position the lion is continue to be a lion, and a lamb has to do things to protect himself from the lion. So I said, all Virginians should want safety measures taken for themselves, especially our most vulnerable. Concerned parents got together with a bill proposed, and Marv, you remember that? We got together, we talked about that. Concerned parents got together with a bill proposal that would make it mandatory for all Virginians 18 years and older, whether gun owners or not, to be required to take measures to protect themselves for being a victim of gun violence and possible safety measures to protect those under 18 years of old. Now, this protective measure would be, when do you run? Run, hide, or fight? Run, where do you run? When do you run? Hide, where do you hide? Why didn't you run past that big oak tree? You know, why didn't you go under that car? Things like that. And when to fight. So this is what I wrote. This is to the senator. Now, I'm not going to call out the senator's name. I said, every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. It knows it must outrun the fastest lion or it will be killed. That's a quote. Every morning in Africa, a lion wakes up. It knows it must run faster than the slowest gazelle or it will starve. It doesn't matter whether you're the lion or the gazelle. When the sun comes up, you'd better be running. And then I said, we don't take the position that the perpetrators of violence will put their guns down, at least not anytime soon. In the meantime, Virginia has laws that are geared towards sale, possession, and use of firearms, but no mandatory laws teaching potential victims how to lessen their chances of being a victim. Now, here's the senator's response. Thank you for your email. It was nice to speak with you the other day. Thank you for providing me details. I didn't give him the 35 line items that I have in my proposed bill. I just gave him the gist of it so that he could meet with us and I can tell him the details of the bill, that he's going to put it on the floor of the House of Representatives. And once it's passed the House, and it goes to the Senate, and once it's passed. All right. He says to me, thank you for providing me details regarding potential legislation to introduce. My staff will research this issue and add to our potential legislation for the January 2023 General Assembly session. Brother Marvin, this is September. This is September. I haven't heard anything. And now, why do you have to put it on the docket for the January 2023 general session? But all I wanted was you to have an initial meeting with us first so we can tell you what's going to be put in the proposed bill. Now, congressmen are going to edit, delete it, and fix it whatever they wanted, right? But it never happened. And so my thing is we need to start from the grassroots level in each state going up. Not to the top going down, but from the bottom going up. And I ain't going to talk long, but here's another proposal that I have. Here's one of the proposals in my, one of the items I had in my bill. When a person is on death row, for example, it could be a loved one. You appeal to the state Supreme Court. The last court you appeal to is the United States Supreme Court. They don't have to hear the case. Now, here's the problem I have with that. Because when you vote for a president, it's not through popular vote. Electoral college picked the president. So for the Supreme Court justices, The president nominates it, then it goes to the Senate. The president of the Senate is the vice president. So let's say you didn't vote for the president. But that president you didn't vote for is head of the United States, and the vice president is head of the Senate. Now, where is we the people in that equation? Because if my loved one's on death row, I don't want the Supreme Court to say, I don't want to hear this case. I want somewhere along the line that we the people have the final decision. So there's a whole lot of things I had. I got 38 items in this proposed bill, but it never got forward. These are the things I want to bring about. But going back to what the caller had said, right, it was two components to him. Race was one, and the mental thing was another. And I still can't grapple over why you kill black people and then you try to take your own life. I don't. So maybe somebody can talk to me on that issue right there.
All right. Thank you, Brother Kevin. I like to just bounce in on that one. All right.
Mm-hmm.
If you kill some folk and you live, you're going to have to go to jail. I don't think he wanted to deal with that. That's my opinion. I'm sure some of the other listeners have opinions as well. But when you commit a crime like that, there are always going to be repercussions and consequences. And I don't think he was ready. I think, of course, like you mentioned, mental health is always a factor when you go that far. And so let me just add this. I'm in a racial class at VCU to this semester, and we talked about race this morning, and this is what one of the white students said. They said that in their families, they have discussions about this. It's what they talk about. They talk about black people, they talk about their agendas, and they talk about how they don't like us. That's what they said this morning, and they called it ignorance, and they actually are being ostracized from their families because of their position on really being tolerant of others. And I think when we look at white supremacy and racism, we have to think about how to deconstruct those systems that are in place, right? How do we do that? I think what you said, Brother Kevin, is political action, right? That's why we need to have a political agenda, that we have people who come out, right? Until we mobilize and say, just like civil rights, right? When you mobilize and say, we're going to have 1,000 people to show up here for this issue, then, or like typically, once we get out in the streets, then they're going to listen, right? Until that time, then everything is just going to go as normal, status quo. So thank you, Brother Kevin Land, for that. I think, again, one point you mentioned before you go is security, right? Here's the thing, and Brother George mentioned it with the militias. Two times you mentioned in your piece that security deterred, right? Security deterred. And so security has to be one of the things or have to be one of the things that we think about, right? How do we begin to secure different places, like the police is stationed in certain places, and how do we begin to put security in place in public venues and even in certain churches, for example, where I think we're going to have to move to having armed people in places that we frequent, right? The mall is going to have armed guards, right? Just like the banks and all the grocery stores. That's where we're headed. So thank you, Brother Kevin Land, and I'll see if I can try to get back to you before the show ends. Thank you, sir. So these are really important issues, and I want to be able to hear from you all, right? Just what's your thoughts? I'm going to slide back over to Brother Warren before I go back down the list. Brother Warren, you had a comment you wanted to make.
Yes, I wanted to go back to my point of understanding racist talking points. Whenever these heinous racist acts against black people occur, there is a sort of diffusion technique. So somebody comes in and talks about black people killing each other, Chicago shootings. That is designed to take the focus off the persistent racial hatred that whites, not all whites, but a significant element of the whites have for black people. I was in Southern Africa the whole month of August. I was in Zambia, South Africa, and Namibia. And talking to a lot of South Africans, you know, the South Africans, the black South Africans lived under a brutal racial separation system called apartheid. And, of course, that support doesn't exist no more. And so the whites are sending out this lie that they're being attacked and they're being targets of extermination by the blacks. And these talking points, we don't really understand how they're part of the rationale to maintain the racist position against black people. Yes, we have what is called black-on-black crime in our communities, but that shouldn't be allowed to be brought up when white racist terrorist acts occur. Those that do that should be put in check, because the attempt here is to not focus on the terror that white racists continue and intend to continue to inflict on us. And so when you read the manifestos of the young white guy that killed those blacks at the Charleston church, and I don't know if they released the manifesto in Jacksonville. All I know is the guy said he wanted to kill niggers. Those manifestos are what these people who call themselves conservatives are saying every day in all forms of talk radio, including blog talk. And we must understand there's an element of black people who are part of this movement. Many of them have African names, okay, which leads to confusion to a lot of us, because whenever our people have a certain aesthetic, like African names and a certain African hairstyle, we get caught off guard and don't understand that it is that element that the white racist is using as an ally in many respects against the community. So we must understand that the function and purpose of a talking point, a lie, and a myth, is to justify why you should mistreat black people. And so the issue of mental illness, well, I mean, white people apparently have been mental ill from the very beginning with black people, because this racial terror of killing black people in their churches, bombing their churches, burning their churches. Black people do not have a history of doing that to white people. And if anybody suggests that it is, they should be stopped, and they should be called a dishonest person who is perpetuating lies and myths. Black people react and have reacted to being mistreated and hated. So you're going to have an element of black people who will lash out as a result. Now, this guy in Tennessee, this Sudanese immigrant in Tennessee that went into that church back in 2017 and killed one white person, one is too many, of course, but killed one white person, supposedly had some sort of statement, and it was supposed to be because, now listen to this, according to sources I said, it was supposed to be some sort of revenge for what happened in Charleston. And then a psychiatrist in 2019 did diagnose that guy with something. This was a Sudanese immigrant, okay, a person. So my point is, black people don't have a history of talking to white people in that manner. And anybody who suggests and introduced that in the conversation, they should be challenged unapologetically and viciously pushed back against, because that's perpetuating a racist stereotype against blacks that justify what the white guy in Jacksonville and the people in Charleston do to black people.
All right. Thank you, Brother Warren. Thank you, Brother Warren. I appreciate your comments. Man. All right. You're listening live to African American Empowerment Saturday. Right, show for our people to discuss these kind of issues, right? Without anger or frustration, we need to talk, right? This is just a family talk, family gathering. 845-277-9250. If you're listening online, you can call in and state your position, or you can go over to Slido, slido.com. The number is slido.com. Again, is 156-0529 if you want to get in.
that way. But we need you, right? We want to hear what you have to say. All right, let's go back to the lines, and we're going to go over to 804-5416-5416. You're up. You're next. What do you have to say? What are your thoughts on the situation here in America for African Americans?
It is a combination of, as has been said, I think that the mental health piece has been brought up, and it has, the mental health piece, in my opinion, is getting a little bit out of control, because I think that people are not dealing with it properly. I'm not in the mental health field per se, but it seems we're getting out of control. We need to focus on it. And when I say mental health, it leads me to think about the thoughts. Our people perish for lack of knowledge. We need to focus on educating people. Mental health issues stuff comes because it's happening. It's contrary to their very essence. And that leads to when you left,
Brother John, appreciate that, and you're so right. Education is the key. Knowledge is power, right? And the more that we really are, like Brother Booker say, honest with ourselves, right, we have to educate and re-educate and reinvent ourselves. Some of the things in which we think and believe in our constructs that are have been embedded inside of us mentally and emotionally needs to be uprooted and eradicated and replaced. I say in my trainings, disrupt the program. There are programs that are running in people, right? Internalized programs, internalized racism, right? Within our own community, within our own selves, that we're going to have to do the work of eradicating. So we need mental health supports in every city, in every community, in every school to really help us, in every family, to really deal with those issues that we have to really face, or you're going to continue to see things like this, right? It's just true. Thank you, Brother John. Again, 845-277-9250 is the number to call. African American Empowerment Saturday. I'm going to go. Let me go over to Slido. Slido just popped in. Black people must become security and self-defense minded. And we have seen you can't afford to be oblivious even at church. All right, there it is. We're going to have to do it because no, honestly, where is safe, right? To be honest, right now, the way it is. So when you look at grocery stores, the mall, movie theaters, churches, almost public events, Las Vegas, right? It continues to be prevalent and pervasive right in front of our faces. And it has to be a discussion that we just have, right? Brother John is right. Education, education, education. And that is the work that we must do. 25-5347, you're next. Welcome to the Empowerment Saturday, African American Empowerment. What's your thoughts?
Hello, Hey, how you guys doing, brother?
Brother Bridge?
Brother Mar?
Welcome. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you all doing today? I've been listening to some good thoughts there. A lot of people brought a lot of things to the table. My thoughts are one of the most prevalent ones I've been thinking about is we're forgetting, and a lot of people was wondering why a lot of those people were doing the things they were doing because of the racial component of it. We're in a spiritual level now that we as black people, we always been a spiritual people. I'm not talking about religion, but the spiritual component about what's happening is a lot of those people, like they're saying, why are they killing and then turn around and kill themselves? I was taught coming up that people would find themselves in a reprobate stage. And that's, you know, when they lost that soul. And I was in a meeting with the chief and the sheriff here just about a week or so ago. And we were talking about, because I just lost a little young cousin. She was about 1 year old. One of my cousins got in a brawl with a young fella out there in the street, and they got into a scrap, and a shooting took place. And his young daughter was in there and got shot. And the whole community been in an uproar about it. And this is my family. But the police enforcement component out there wanted the community, everybody to come together to, what the term was snitching. That's what everybody was talking about. But they were missing the point about what happened between the two young fellas out there. And like everybody was talking up here today, they was talking about mental health and all the social issues that were going on. And my statement was to them was about enforcement is good, but what about prevention and the social issues that went between those young brothers that were out there going on? Nobody said anything about that young brother that did the shooting. Nobody knows whether that brother out there was going crazy that he shot that young kid. I in my heart, I don't believe that he had any intention of shooting that young kid. See, we're suffering, a brother of mine that's working in our community with us from North Carolina Central, and I don't mind saying his name, Dr. Jonathan Livingston, is in our team that's working in our community. Okay. He calls it trauma, and we've been through different historical points and times of trauma in our community, all the way from slavery to Jim Crow, and even back further since we lost the power of self and the knowledge of self. So even ourselves, that we got to come back, and as long and while we are educating the white folks and other cultures and everybody else, I've heard it said up there today too about educating ourselves while we're at it. And we're working. I was given the opportunity to put a whole new agenda in our community, and it was broken down into three parts: mental, physical, and spiritual. See, so we got a work to do in each one of those categories. And I heard a brother talk about the political side. We don't have to just, we got to work from the top and the bottom. So that brother that was talking about that, if your legislative body don't come to you, then you go to it. And we got to deal with the narrative ourselves. That's why I brought up that point about that brother that did that shooting. We got to deal with those people too about conflict resolution in our communities, brother. I don't want to make a long story out of it, but we got to reach back and get our spiritual nature back together in our communities and control the narrative about what's going on in our communities ourselves, and not look at it from that social fabric that's been put on us, and follow that same educational narrative that we have been following. So I think we got to back up and readjust there. So make a long story short, let's readjust, let's rethink, And that's what I think we need to do. And I think we're afraid of it because we have been following an education that have been given to us by someone else. And I think let's start another conversation. I thank you for allowing me to get those few words in. Thank you, guys. You, a good show. Keep up the good work, brother.
Brother Ridge, I appreciate that. I think you're right, taking a step back and really reexamining and resurrecting and beginning to determine for ourselves the direction that we now want to go in. It is important because that is the way that we create our own culture, because we don't have an original culture, right? Our culture as it stands is really given to us by the dominant society and the things that we do in adjusting to being here. It's not a culture, right, that is original. It's original, but it's an adjustment and an adaptation through experience. And so we have to develop our own cultural rituals, right, that insulate us. That's why culture is important. And other societies know how to master culture, and we're just kind of on our own, just like wandering through the wilderness, right, with no aim and no direction. And we have to find purpose within ourselves and collect. Like Brother Booker said, we got to come together, and we're going to have to do that work of doing it immediately in order to see a shift in our community. I think you're right, Brother Ridge, as well, is that the top work down and the bottom work up, and we meet somewhere in the middle, and we keep doing that. If they don't come to you, go to them is absolutely right. All right. Let's go back to the lines. 845-277-9250. We got 8 minutes and 24 seconds left in this one, and it's really good. 804-9116, you're up next. Do you have a question, comment, statement, thought on the conversation today?
Yes, sir. How you guys doing? It's good evening. Speaking on, we need protection. Somebody spoke on us needing protection and different infrastructures. Who better to do it than, like, we're such a misplaced nation. We need our youth to be our protection, to have the fearlessness, and they have all this energy. That's where you get all this reckless, radical energy from that they put towards each other. Hello?
Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
Just making sure I was heard. The youth, that's why you see all these reckless killings and all this radical energy, because we're such a misplaced nation. Every other nation, the young men are the ones that protect the nation. And that's where we go wrong. We build and we build, but we don't put protection in place, which is our youth. That's why they're so misplaced, so much killing, so much this and that. But they are fearless. And then how can we tell them something? And then they got into this scam and stuff to where they're sitting on $100,000. Like, we almost have lost our soldiers. Because they're so fearless and so, like, the lost ones and the left out ones, that they don't care about much, but they're the ones that we need. But we're losing them to the streets and all these easy ways they're getting money. How can we tell them anything when they're sitting on so much criminalized money? You know, it's empowering them in a way. We need them empowered in another way. And it's kind of our fault because we're sitting on different perspectives and values. Our values are not geared toward building them up so we can have protection. You know, most older men are scared to lose what they have, what they're sitting on. House, family, kids, which is, I understand that, but we're just so misplaced, you know. But that would be our first plan of action. Once we build, we got to build something to protect ourselves before we build. We can't worry about why people come at us, because there's so many reasons why people come at us. You know, ultimately it's because we're the greatest thing going. You know, anytime somebody risks their whole life, throw their whole life away, get rid of a few of God's people, It's like, wow, you know. But we can't focus on why people do what they do. We have to focus on protecting ourselves at all times. And I see it, different people around the country doing things like this. You know. But that's the part that scares America, and some people are scared themselves to, like, start these many infrastructures, many militias that can eventually become one. You know, Trump doing it, rednecks do it, little militias going on right now as we speak. But it's necessary, actually, for the times and where we're going. Or, like, why are we even building to easily get destroyed? It's like a calf just laying down for the slaughter, you know. Just go ahead and take the meat, you know. So that's just my word for the day. We can utilize our youth. We're not focusing on our youth enough. And you can utilize them and pull them away from all the criminal nature that's grasping them away from us. You know. And that's our army. That's all I have to say today.
Thank you for calling. That's so right, right. This has been a great show. Thank you for your feedback and your input. Right, getting close to the end, but, you know, a couple of points that we got to think about is conflict resolution, right? How do we resolve conflict? I mean, honestly resolve conflict to actually begin that work of resolving conflict. Brother Red said something, right? We just lost another baby. In our cities, think about this. We are losing seeds, right? As we reproduce, that's what humanity is supposed to do, is reproduce ourselves. Right. And so we just lost a seed bearer and a seed giver. And we're going to have to think about every time we lose one, we just lost a seed. We're losing seeds. Right. The producers of the seed is the male. The female is the seed bearer, which brings forth life. And we're losing them left and right. We're going to have to think about, right, as we move forward, like it was stated. What is the mental, physical, and the spiritual change and development that we're going to have to face, right? Collectively, through political action, through security and protection, developing prevention programs that we establish, right? Focusing on youth development. Those things are important. The brother said we are a misplaced nation. I don't know if you ever heard of the story of the rogue youth elephant. Through poaching, and I'll say this before we wrap up, most of the male, dominant male, alpha male elephants were poached off and killed, and the young adolescent bull elephants were terrorizing the communities. And so they had to reinstitute dominant males to correct and lead the young bull elephants in order to reestablish balance in the community. That is what we need. We need good leadership and good balance, male and female and family, and be able to establish the foundation for trust, love, and community development. Of course, lastly, economics is going to be important. That work has to be done with us, through us, and by us. Now, final comments from Brother George. Thank you all for listening. Brother George, final comments.
Yes, sir. Great contributions from everybody that had something to say today. And we have to start somewhere, and like I said, with our young people.
Thank you, brother. That's it for today.
That's right.
Book said, be the one. We have to use the principles that are available to us. Brother Booker says, connect the roots. Connect the heart, right? Operate in love. The brother said a snitch, right? What is a snitch? If you did something wrong, be accountable for your actions, because we need accountability. We need love. We need encouragement, right? We need maturity. We need to develop, and we can do that each day, one day, purposefully at a time. This has been African American Empowerment Saturday. Continue to reach. Continue to become the best person that you can be each day, every day, 365 days of the year. Until next week.
blessings, y'all. As always. Oh, yeah. We still here. Oh, 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 yeah. Have a great day. Peace.